It is good to be here this morning. Go ahead and grab a seat. If we have not had the pleasure of meeting, my name is Rob Zimmerman. I'm the lead pastor here at Westgate, and I am just excited that you have chosen to worship with us today. We have got such a great service that is planned this morning. If you did not know, today is our baptism Sunday, thus the open tank. It's a lot further back than it used to be, so I'm not quite as afraid of falling into it, but I will tell you, this morning we baptized 8 people in our first service. We're going to baptize another 7 this morning. Praise God for that. Just excited to hear the stories and the testimonies of what God is doing in their life. And so I hope that you will enjoy the service this morning. It's going to be just a little bit different. I only get 15 minutes to preach. Somebody say amen. All right, there you go. So 15 minutes, but then you're going to get to hear great stories of what God is doing in people's hearts and lives. And so I pray that it's an encouragement to you today. Again, if we haven't had the opportunity to meet and you are a guest here today, I want to give you just a special welcome. Thank you for worshiping today. We know that when people are checking out churches, they don't always want to be known. They might want to hide for a little bit of time as they figure out if it's the right church for them. But as you make a decision, you think to yourself, hey, I want to get connected at Westgate, or at least look into that. The great first step to do so is to use the connection card that you'll see in the pew in front of you. And so if you would like to make that step of connection today, I'd encourage you to pull out the connection card. You can fill it out. And if you are a guest at the close of the service today, you can take it out to our guest center in the main entrance where we will exchange. As you give us that card, we actually have a gift we would love to give you to say thank you for being here, some information about the church. And also our hosts would love to answer any questions you have, give you a tour of the facility, whatever would be best for you. And so we'd encourage you to stop by today at the close of the service for that. Again, as I mentioned, a lot of great things going on, but before we continue in our worship, one of the things we love to do is stand up, turn around, and say hi to somebody we haven't said hello to yet today. So go ahead and turn and greet one another to our service. Thank you.
All right, church, we're going to continue with our worship. Let's worship again together.
I tried to
Praise God. Amen. God is good. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity that we have had to gather here in your house today and to worship you. And Lord, I thank you for just the testimonies that we're going to hear today of what you are doing in the hearts and the lives of a number of people in our congregation. And God, I pray that as we go through this service, that you would receive all the glory. Lord, we thank you for how you have worked in many of our hearts. And Lord, the path that you have walked us on to a place of yielding our hearts and our lives to you. And so may today in our service, as we sing, as we read your word, as we hear testimonies, and as we baptize, may it bring all glory and honor to you. Father, as we continue in our worship this morning as well, Lord, and we take our offering, tithes and our offerings this morning, we acknowledge, God, that everything that we have comes from you. We give, Father, with cheerful hearts. But most importantly, God, our desire is that what we give, Lord, you would use, that you would multiply it, double it, triple it, whatever it is, to where, God, we can see it being used so that more people will testify of your Son, Jesus Christ, that more people will make that decision to follow him in our community and throughout the world. And so, Lord, we pray that you would receive glory and honor today, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to take our morning offering. If you're sitting here on the sides, you can grab those offering buckets, and we'll just pass them out to the sides, and I believe they're on the ends up in the balcony. You kind of pass those in. I know that some ushers will be there to help. If you are a guest here today, please feel free to let that bucket go by. This is an opportunity for our church family to worship and giving, but please do not feel obligated this morning. Let's continue in worship in our giving. Thank you. You know, it was back in 2007 that Rochelle and I made the decision while we were living in Southern California to buy our first home. And buying a home, for those of you that have done that, for us especially back then, was a pretty big deal. We had a young family, had been married for a handful of years, had our two little kiddos, Garrett and Riley, and we were trying to figure out, could we afford to buy a home in Southern California? And we actually took quite a while to make that decision to purchase a home. One, because living in California meant that we were going to be buying something for a lot of money that was pretty modest. And as we began our search, we went through a number of different homes, and we finally settled on one home in particular that was in Lakewood, California. It was a very modest three-bedroom, one-bath house in Lakewood, weighed in at about 1,080 square feet. It was pretty small, no upgrades, needed some work, and you'll see it here on the screen. That tiny little box that we lived in, it was yellow, not in much better than green, but you know, whatever. That was our tiny little house. Any idea how much we paid for that 1,080 square feet? At the time, years and years ago, it was $510,000 for that little house with no upgrades. And can I tell you, like, as we even thought about purchasing, we spent countless weeks going over budgets, poring over it, asking ourselves a litany of different questions. How bad do we really want this home? Can we afford this home? We would crunch the numbers, go over our budgets, do it again and again, realizing that in order to pay a whopping mortgage like that, we would have to make some serious sacrifices. And so we eventually would be known as what is called house poor. All of our money was going into the home, but we would have to tighten our budgets considerably. It meant that there would be less money for fun purchases, for vacations, for all sorts of things. But in the end, we decided, and you can also see there's a second picture up there of our modest little backyard that we had. That is the place where I like to tell people I taught Garrett how to swing a baseball bat, and he was hitting balls over the fence in the backyard into the nursery. But in the end, we had determined that the cost, the money, all of that, that we would go ahead and purchase the home. But in purchasing the home, we did have to determine whether or not the cost, the money, and other things we would have to give up, that it would be worth it to us. And what's interesting is I think about that season in life, what we did is what Jesus actually calls all of us to do in Scripture, which is to count the cost. In Luke chapter 14, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn there and look at it with me. In Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33, it tells us that having left the home of a Pharisee, where there was this large banquet or party that was taking place, Jesus left this home, and it tells us that there was again, as had happened many times in his earthly ministry, a great crowd that was following Jesus. Now, no doubt in this crowd were his disciples, people that had made the decision that they were going to give up their life and everything that they had been pursuing in order to follow Jesus, to go everywhere with him, to experience his earthly ministry. But in this great crowd, not only were his disciples and most devoted followers, but there were also people that were there who no doubt were contemplating a relationship with Jesus. They were still trying to figure out in their own mind, you know, I'm following him around, I'm watching what he's doing, but will I make that decision? And here's the deal. There was a ton of excitement that surrounded Jesus. Like, he was the guy to follow. When you read the New Testament and in the Gospels, you see all the miracles that he was doing. Could you imagine following around a guy that was giving sight to the blind, who was healing people that had been lame and unable to walk since birth? People that had horrible skin infections known as leprosy, separated from their families and the Jewish community, completely restored and healed at a moment. I mean, the things that Jesus were doing were incredible, and people followed because they wanted to see. They wanted to be a part of it. But as well, the Bible tells us that people followed Jesus because he was one of the most fantastic teachers that they had ever encountered. They were consistently awed by how he would teach, the words that he would use, how it inspired them to follow God. And so in this crowd of people that are following, there are those who had already made the decision to follow Jesus, but there were those who simply wanted to be near and to be close. But what happened is this, as we read in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 25, is that as this crowd follows Jesus, Jesus wants to make clear to them that following him means so much more than just being in close proximity or being familiar with him and his teachings. And when we read this passage together, I'm sure that it will shock you like most people, because at first glance, the words that Jesus speaks appear to be harsh and pretty direct. Listen to what he says. Let's follow along together in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 25. It says this. It says that large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even hate his own life, such a person cannot be my disciple." Now, when you hear Jesus say that, it's pretty shocking. You think to yourself, is he contradicting himself? Like, we know that what Jesus has been teaching regularly is loving people, loving all people, even loving your enemies. How could he now switch and say, hey, if you follow me, then you need to hate your mom. You need to hate your dad. You need to hate your brothers and sisters. Goodness, you need to hate your own life. I mean, that sounds pretty sad. Why in the world would Jesus say these things? And is he contradicting himself? Well, what we often don't realize when we're reading this passage in Scripture is that in the ancient world, they would regularly use extreme contrasts to convey the unmeasurable worth or value of a choice or a decision that had to be made. In other words, as Jesus is saying this, he's not literally saying hate your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, but he's using an extreme contrast to help us to understand the unmeasurable worth or value of the choice to follow Jesus. Essentially, what Jesus says is this: if you are going to follow me, then I must come first before all things. He says that not only to the crowd that follows, but he says it to us. If you are going to follow me, then I must come first. You see, the point of what Jesus said is that good things, even things created and commended by God, like a father and a mother and the honor that is due them, cannot be given precedence over Jesus. When the good seeks to replace the best, it must be hated. I would encourage you to write that down and to think about those words. When the good seeks to replace the best, then it must be hated. Jesus makes a strong contrast here when comparing good and best, and says the choice to follow me is the most important thing. I must come first. But not only does he speak in terms of hating father and mother, brother and sister, or even your own life, but he continues and he says in the passage, whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, for those that were listening, they would have known that what Jesus was talking about was the cross that was known as a torture device used by the Romans to usher the most horrific capital punishment that was known in the entire land, where a person would be hung on a tree, nailed to a cross to die on the side of the road, one of the most painful and horrific deaths that a person could face. And as Jesus says these words, whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple, what he is essentially saying is this, is if you are going to follow me, your eternal life must hold more value than your earthly life. Your eternal life must hold more value than your earthly life. You must be willing to let go of things that are good and willing to accept things that are hard in order to receive what is best. Now, Jesus uses two examples following this teaching, which I'll summarize for you, much like the illustration that I started with. Jesus starts with trying to paint this picture by talking about and saying, hey, consider this. If you desired to go and build a tower, He says, would you not first sit down and count the cost? Like you would weigh out whether or not you can actually fulfill the project that you want to do. He says, why would you build a foundation and yet not be able to finish the building? This illustration that Jesus uses actually became a vibrant picture for me a couple of years ago when a team from Westgate, myself included, went to Mongolia together. And one of the things that you'll notice if you go to Ulaanbaatar, which is the capital city of Mongolia, and you'll see this picture on the screen, is that all across the cityscape are these high-rise buildings that have been built up, but they have been left unfinished. They are incomplete. Some of them just concrete structures that you can see straight through. Some of them have all of the outside done, but there is nothing finished on the inside. Some of them, many of them, still have the cranes positioned above them. But here's the deal. There are hundreds of these things scattered across the capital city. You can see cranes as far as the eye can see of these buildings that have been started and for years and years and years have never been finished. It's one of the most incredible things to ever see, because people, when they began to build these buildings, did not consider whether or not they had the money to actually finish them. This is the point that Jesus makes, and he says, who doesn't sit down to count the cost first? Why build a foundation that you can't finish? Because people will simply mock you for your foolishness. He uses another example to help us to understand the importance of counting the cost. He uses the illustration of a king who is going to war, and he says, what king doesn't go to war and say, hey, I've got 10,000 troops, this other king coming at me has got 20. You need to figure out, and you would most undoubtedly try to figure out, can your 10,000 troops overcome the 20? And he says, if you realize that you can't, what you would do is you would send somebody out ahead of your troops to go and try to make peace with this other king that is wanting to go to war. What are you doing? You are looking at the two things and you are weighing the cost, which helps determine your decision. This is the thing that Jesus calls us to when it comes to following him. He calls us to compare and to contrast the world's offering versus what Jesus offers. And it's interesting that as I look at the world that we live in today, I was reading an article this past week talking about how people specifically in America feel about how things are going in the world. And as you read the article and you looked at the different statistics that were there, the overarching summary was simply this, is that today, people have to feel like they have to work harder. As they work harder, they have less. They feel less safe, either because of crime or wars that are happening all around the world. We don't feel that we have trust in our leaders, that they can actually dig us out of some of these holes. And ultimately, there's a bleak outlook on where the world is headed. In my own conversations with you, I know that there are many people that feel the same way. As we look at what's going on, as we measure what the world offers, it seems like it always fails us and never comes through and provides the hope and the fulfillment and everything that we desire. Compare and contrast that, though, with the gift of eternal life that Jesus offers to us. Consider all that he has offered us in eternal life, the complete forgiveness of our sin. Even though we have rebelled against God, even though we are the ones that have chosen against him, he sent his son Jesus into the world to die on a cross to pay the penalty for our sin and rebellion so that we could be restored in a right relationship with him. And he offers us not only complete forgiveness, but ultimately one day, when this life is over, he offers us the eradication of sin, the removal of all pain and suffering, and says that we will reign with him for eternity in heaven. When you take and you compare and contrast the offering of the world and what Jesus offers to us, and you truly count the cost, it isn't even close. Amen? What Jesus offers is so much greater. And today, what we are doing is celebrating 16 people who have counted the cost and chosen what is best, chosen to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Their baptism today is a symbol not only of their decision to follow Christ, but of the death of the old way of living and of the new life that they have in Jesus Christ. And I want to acknowledge that maybe you're here this morning and you have been counting the cost for some time when it comes to a relationship with Jesus, but have never made that decision. Can I encourage you today to listen closely this morning as we get to hear some of the testimonies from these individuals, both young and old, and why they have chosen to follow Jesus? And consider whether or not today might be the day that you choose for the first time to say yes to Jesus. As well, I know that there are many people in this room who have chosen to follow Jesus. Many of you have been baptized previously, and I would encourage you as we go through this morning and hear testimonies and witness these baptisms together to allow it to be an encouragement in your own faith, to remind you of why you chose to follow Jesus as you weighed the cost, and to celebrate and to worship God for the blessing that He has brought in your own life. How many of you guys are ready to hear some stories this morning and baptize some people? You guys ready? I'm really excited because, man, the stories that you're going to hear, God has been doing some incredible and awesome things. And so to begin, I'm going to invite Marlena Burrow, our kids ministry director, to come on out here with some of our kids that are being baptized. Would you welcome them with a huge round of applause as they come out this morning?
Good morning. How are you guys doing? These guys are so brave to stand out here today. And so we're so excited that we have spent the last couple of weeks doing our Kid Faith class. You've probably heard us promote it. And that is a class where the kids and their parents get to really dive into what does it mean to follow Jesus and what is baptism. So each one of these guys, we've had awesome conversation about that. And we do that because we really want them to know what they're doing and for it to be really meaningful to them. And so just a moment, we're going to hear from them. But first, if you're a kid in here, let me hear you shout. Okay, let's do it one more time. If you're a kid in here, let me hear you shout. The reason you're like, okay, there's kids in here. The reason we do this is because we want these kids to be able to be in here, be a part of the church, and to see these kids take that awesome step in choosing to follow Jesus and coming up here in front of you guys and sharing that. And so thank you for bringing your kids. I know it can be a little bit more challenging, but we are so glad that they get to be in here and worship with us this morning. So we're going to start with my friend, and she's going to tell us your name and how old you are.
Evelyn, and I'm 8 years old.
Okay, I'm going to have you stand up here. Everybody say hi, Evelyn. Evelyn, can you tell us what is something that you like to do for fun?
Gymnastics.
Ooh, gymnastics. Awesome. And can you tell us what is one thing that you want all of these people to know about Jesus?
Jesus loves you.
Everybody? Does he love everybody?
Yes.
Awesome. Or just you? Everybody, right? Awesome. And can you tell us what is a verse that is meaningful to you?
Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice.
Awesome. Thank you. Everybody give it up for Evelyn. Okay, can you tell everybody your name and how old you are?
My name is Penelope, and I'm 7 years old.
Hi, Penelope. Awesome. Penelope, can you tell us what is something that you like to do for fun?
I like to ride my bike and do gymnastics and catch frogs and toads.
Frogs and toads, love it. And can you tell us what is something that you want all of these people to know about Jesus?
Jesus loves them.
Yes, he does. Does he love everybody?
Yes.
Even Pastor Rob?
Yes.
Definitely, right? Awesome. And can you tell us what is a verse that's meaningful to you?
John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This is what Rob was talking about, right? Love it. Okay, can you share with us what is your name and how old you are?
My name is Elijah, and I am 10 years old.
They're getting it. They're getting it. Thanks. Can you tell them what's something you like to do for fun?
I like to play sports and video games.
Sports and video games. What's your? We talked about this earlier, but what's your favorite video game?
I have a lot of favorites, but my number one is probably Fortnite.
Fortnite, awesome. Any other Fortniters out there? Okay. I heard there's a Star Wars version coming out. It's great. Okay. Anyway, moving on. Can you tell us what is something that you want all of these people to know about Jesus?
That he is good, and I wanted to learn how to live a life following him and loving him.
Awesome. Isn't that amazing? Love this. And can you tell us what is a verse that's meaningful to you?
I like Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be courageous. Do not be discouraged. Do not be terrified, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Awesome. Give it up. Okay, can you tell us what is your name and how old you are?
My name is Weston, and I'm 8 years old.
Okay, Weston, can you tell us what is something you like to do for fun?
Playing with Transformers.
Oh, Transformers. Awesome. Bumblebee's my favorite. Do you have a favorite? Which one?
Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime. He's the best. Can you tell us what is one thing you want all of these people to know about who Jesus is?
Jesus, come into my heart.
So you've chosen to follow him, right? Awesome. I love that. And can you share what is a verse that's meaningful to you?
John 1:12, but to all who did accept him and believe him, he gave the right to become children of God.
Awesome. Love it. Thank you, my friend. And he gets to get baptized with his brother this morning, which I love. Okay, can you tell us what is your name and how old you are? So cute, I know. How old you are?
My name is Jace, and I'm 10 years old.
Jace, what's something you like to do for fun?
I like building with Legos.
Building with Legos, awesome. And can you tell us what is one thing that you want all of these people to know about Jesus?
That God loves us all.
Yes, everybody, right? And can you tell us what is a verse that's meaningful to you?
Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Give it up. And last but not least, what is your name and how old you are?
Caitlin, and I'm 7.
Hi, Caitlin.
Caitlin, what's something you like to do for fun?
Play Uno.
What?
Play Uno.
Oh, Uno. I asked her earlier if she was good at it. She's like, maybe. A little good. We'll have to play sometime. I'm pretty competitive. Yeah. Okay, what is one thing that you want everyone in here to know about Jesus?
Jesus loves you.
He loves you. Yep. And then what is a verse that's meaningful to you?
Romans 3:23. For all sin and fall short of the glory of God.
Yes. And I love that verse. And we talked about first service that the awesome part is that right after that verse, it says that the free gift that God has given is that we have been justified in Christ. And each one of these kids has chosen to follow Jesus and to step forward in baptism. So would you guys give it up for them for being brave and coming out here?
We ready for some baptisms today? Come on, that's what I'm talking about. All right, so up here, I'm not going to give your name. I always do that. And so give us your name and what grade you're in and what school you go to.
My name is Timothy Yu. I am in 6th grade, and I go to Timberstone Junior High.
And these are 2 middle schoolers, by the way, okay? I forgot to say that. All right, awesome, Timmy. And so anyone else go to Timberstone in here? Or did anyone go to Timberstone? Okay, we got a couple. There we go. They're awesome. We got like 1 or 2. Okay, so Timmy, when you don't have homework, when you don't have chores, when it's like Timmy time, whenever you want to, like it's your time, what do you like to do?
When I don't have homework or chores, I like to play outside with my neighborhood friends.
Play outside. Okay, all right. Well, like what's your favorite thing to do with your friends outside?
Play capture the flag or hide and seek.
Okay, awesome. Those are great games. Okay, next question. What's one food that you never want to eat again?
I never want to eat a boiled egg again.
A boiled egg. Right on. I've never had one, so. Okay, so now the opposite. What's one food you cannot live without?
I cannot live without candy.
Candy. Yeah. Yep. Which candy in particular?
Sour Patch Kids and Skittles.
Oh, yeah. Those are the best. I love those. I just had some yesterday. Very cool. And so now the great question, the big question, when did you accept Jesus in your life, and what did that moment look like?
I accepted Jesus last year. I've been going to church ever since I was born and going to VBSs every summer. My parents always encouraged me to read the Bible and to be a leader. One evening, I thought that I wasn't actually paying attention to Jesus and opening up to him. So when I finished dinner, I went up to my room to read the Bible. I read all of Matthew, and there was this verse that really stuck up to me. It was Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. It says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry." After I read that verse, I was thinking about going to church and start acting like a great Christian. I then started to go to church every Sunday and Monday and listen to what the pastor had to say, and then started to make the right choice of being a mature Christian. After I started to act like a person that actually respects Jesus, I said to myself, the next step is to get baptized and make Jesus my number one.
That's awesome. Praise God. That's awesome. Very cool. Very cool. So, Timmy, why do you want to get baptized today?
I want to get baptized because I want to put passion into him and make him my holy savior.
Amazing. Praise God. All right.
Pass it over.
All right. So, do you remember the questions?
I think so.
Okay. I'll ask him anyways. All right. So give us your name, what grade you're in, and then what school you go to.
I'm Jake. I go to Northwest Iowa Classical Academy, or NOCA. I'm 12, and I'm in the sixth grade.
Awesome. Very cool. And so, okay, you have no chores, no homework, you just got free time, what are you doing?
I like to fix cars with my dad.
Fix cars. That's cool. What's the coolest thing you've done on a car?
I rebuilt a four-wheeler.
Oh, wow. Rebuilt a four-wheeler. Very cool. Okay. Now, what's a food you'll never eat again?
I'll pretty much eat anything.
Pretty much eat anything. Yeah. That's wild. I cannot relate to that. I'm very picky. But that's very cool. Okay. What's something you can't live without eating?
Steak.
Steak. Come on. Who likes steak in here? Let's go. Pastor Rob loves a good steak. Very cool. And so, when did you accept Jesus into your life, and what did that moment look like?
I accepted Jesus into my life when I was 10. I grew up in the church. I knew about God, although I never had a right relationship with him. And then I realized I needed him in my life, and I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. So I read my Bible and had conversations with him. And I feel that the Holy Spirit is calling me in this next step of faith, baptism.
Awesome. Very cool. Praise God. Praise God. And just really quick, if you know Timmy and Jake, I would encourage you. They got baptized first service, so it was just so cool to be a part of that. But if you know them personally, when you get baptized, that's publicly proclaiming to the church that I'm committing my life to Jesus. And so if you know them, hold them accountable to that, right? Pour into their life, right? Give them wisdom, encouragement, uplift them in their faith journey. Because following Jesus, it's amazing, but it's hard, and it takes the church together. So I just want to encourage you guys as the church to come alongside them as they begin this journey of following Jesus, and they have a long road ahead of them, so I'm super excited for that. But all right, let's go.
Let's go. Great. He's got yellow. There we go. Got it. Excellent. Well, I am thankful for all those testimonies, but also these. We have a number of adults that are coming out, and they have been a part of our adult baptism class that has been going on over the past 3 weeks, and baptized a couple in the first service, and going to do some more here second service, so we're excited about that. And I'm going to ask you guys, just like everybody else, to share a little bit of your journey and your story of giving your life to Christ, and then also
just to tell us why you want to be baptized today. And so let's go ahead and begin. Look, we're just passing mics around. Let's go with Diana. Would you share first?
I brought my helper this time.
I love it.
I was 8 years old when my parents, who did not attend, sent me and my two younger brothers to church on a Sunday school bus. It was on that bus that and in that church that I first met the love of Jesus. I remember singing songs, Jesus Loves Me, and the B-I-B-L-E. I received my first Bible the second year of going there. I remember sitting alone in my room holding that Bible in my hands, fully aware that it was the Word of God and feeling His love. And I said my first personal prayer to Him. When I was 11 years old, my parents decided to get a divorce. I sat on my daddy's lap, wiping his tears as he begged my mother not to leave him. I know it wasn't easy for my parents either, as they both lashed out in the world and basically forgot about us kids. Divorce stinks. I felt confused, alone, and unloved by the very people who gave me life. I divorced my parents and was on my own at age 12. I had been everywhere from California to Puerto Rico and back by the age of 18. I went to 15 different schools from fifth grade to my sophomore year in high school. I was in and out of foster homes as well as lived with different family members. I learned through all of that what I wanted and did not want in life. I was looking for the patience and kindness and love that I was promised in the Word. 65 years old, people. Takes three pages. Then I met my husband and his family, and they accepted me and gave me the love that I was looking for. I was baptized at 25 in the Catholic Church so we could be married in the church my husband and his family grew up in. And because I was old enough to understand what was happening, I took those words that the priest said very seriously. I poured myself into the Catholic Church, going to church and raising our children to know the love of Jesus. My husband and I had our struggles, as most do. I did not feel loved by him and his family anymore because I wouldn't conform to their ideas of family. Their love was conditional. I wanted an unconditional love that I learned about in that Sunday school. I had no one to turn to in the Catholic faith because I did not feel comfortable going to the priest who had never been married, so how would he know? I became bitter and I felt alone. My husband and I had considered divorce, but with how badly it hurt me, I could not do that to our children. I realize now that the evil one had a strong hold on me. I fell to my knees, lifeless, and began to pray. A little at first, and then I pray every day now. I am forever grateful that we did not divorce because I now feel his love and I can't imagine my life without him. I love you, Jim Lucas. You are my gift from God. I started listening to Christian music, reading Christian articles and books. I started watching The Chosen. And as with most movies, if you see the movie and you haven't read the book, you want to read the book. My heart was starting to heal. Then I met Vicki Gates. After many heartfelt talks with her, I began to feel that familiar love, and I asked about the Bible study. I came, and in the first one I came to, I remember introducing myself and telling them that I didn't do relationships very well due to being hurt so much, so don't expect much from me. And the unconditional love they have shown me took me all the way back to that Sunday school bus. Thank you, Vicki, and all my sisters in that Bible study for your love and support. And thank you to my family here today that are probably confused as to why I'm being baptized again. I want to be baptized today as a renewal of that baptism 40 years ago, and because I am now a changed person today, and that is because I know the unconditional love of my Heavenly Father who gave His only Son to pay for my sins.
Amen. So awesome. So awesome. This is Ty, and Ty, would you share a little bit of your own story? And like she said, she's 65, so she got more words than us. But no, Ty, share a little bit of your story and why you want to be baptized today.
So not too long ago, I started to go to church to seek God's word. I made it a goal for me to consistently come and every chance I get to. And just from coming here on a consistent basis, I noticed I was leaving service feeling fulfilled and continuously eager to learn more about the Lord. And I truly love the person that I am becoming, because ever since I put my faith in Jesus, I'm loving the person that I'm just becoming. This verse stuck out to me when I was, like, lost. And ever since I got into this verse, it changed my perspective of life. And I'm going to read it right here. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And, yeah, just like that. I want to get baptized today because I feel like I owe it to God, and I want it for myself as well.
Amen. Awesome. This is Tristan. Tristan was baptized in the first service, which was awesome. But would you share a little bit of your story with us as well?
Yeah. So when I was really young, my family, we all went to church. We actually went to a Lutheran church for quite a long time. But then when I was about six, they actually divorced. They split. And like Miss Diana said, divorce sucks. It is not fun. And we all stopped going to church. Especially I stopped going to church. I was angry and did not want to, thank you, did not want to do anything with Jesus or God, and I was confused and a little hurt. And so it took me pretty much all of my life up until about a year ago to really switch that around. So about a year ago, I decided to kind of lean into what was tugging at my heart and to put my faith and my trust into something other than myself and to do that with Jesus.
That is awesome. And why do you want to be baptized today?
Yeah, because that's the next step. I want to take the next walk with Christ, and that's what I should do.
And actually, I should have said, why did you get baptized today? So, yeah. But we'll do it a second time if you want. So there you go. Good. Well, thank you for sharing with us. Thank you, Tristan. This is Caitlin. Caitlin, share us a little bit of your story as well.
Hi, so I was baptized as a baby, and I'm so grateful that my parents chose to do that for me. But after that, we didn't really go to church all that much, so growing up, I didn't really know, like, who God was or, like, what the gospel was and what that meant. So, but nevertheless, God still planted many seeds throughout my childhood, and that eventually led to middle school. And in middle school, I found God through social media, as weird as that sounds. But, yeah, I just started seeing a lot of, like, content online about God and the gospel. And that was really, I think, the first time I heard the gospel for what it was. So I found myself wanting to seek more and desire God. So I took it upon myself to buy my own Bible. And I just started out with reading the gospel. And reading that, I saw a whole new outlook on life. And that made me realize that I wanted that for myself. And I wanted to devote my life to God. So I continued reading the Bible, and a friend reached out to me and invited me to Westgate. So I've been coming here for the past, like, 3 to 4 years, and it's been absolutely amazing. And I want to get baptized today so I can declare that Jesus is my Savior for myself and just share with everyone else what he's done in my life.
That's awesome. And this is Connor. Connor was baptized in the first service, and share a little bit of your journey with the Lord with us, Connor.
So I'd always grown up in a Christian household, and my grandmother and my mother would always take me to church every Sunday. We'd go to events, but not until 2016 when she passed, it set my mom and I down into like a spiral, and I don't know about her, but I know I definitely stayed away from God my middle school years. So then my freshman year, I got sent to Toledo Christian. And ever since freshman, sophomore, junior year, I came to know God closer and closer and more better. And today I decided to make the decision to fully commit myself and take the next step of my faith and get baptized.
Would you again thank all of them for sharing their testimonies with us today? Thank you, guys. So encouraging to hear all of these great stories of what God is doing in each of these individuals' lives. And I just want to share with you, as we baptize eight of them in this service, the way we do baptism here at Westgate is that we baptize people as we are worshiping and singing praises to God. And so our worship team is going to come out and lead us in a couple songs of worship. But can I encourage you, as we baptize people and they come up out of the water, feel free to give a huge shout of praise to the Lord and give thanks to Him for what He is doing in each individual's life. And so I'm going to invite you to stand with us and let us worship the Lord together.
Can we pray together and pray for all the people that are getting baptized? You know, His Word talks about, the Bible talks about us being a cloud of witnesses. And as we celebrate these baptisms today, I just want us to pray for each one of them and just let that be on our hearts and our minds this morning. God, we love you and we thank you so much. We get to celebrate these new family members today. God, I thank you so much for what you're doing in their lives. And God, I pray as one church, as one body, we would not just sing over them, God, but that we would be there to walk alongside them, to disciple them, to be the body as you call us to be, Lord. I pray for that this morning, Lord. Just guide us and direct us and help us to just be that cloud of witnesses to see people through. Lord, it's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Oh my soul. looking a place to hide this weary soul. This bag of bones. And I try with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. And just when I ran high road, I met a man I didn't know, and he told me that I was not alone. You pick me up, you turn me around, you place my feet on solid ground. I think the master, I think the savior. I thank the Savior, I thank God. No, I can't deny what I've seen. I've got no choice but to believe. All my doubts are burning, oh, like ashes in the wind. So, so long to my old friend. Burning in bitterness, so you can just keep them moving. Now you ain't welcome here. From now till I walk the streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son has found his way back.
Feet, I'm going to try not to slip again, but hey, what a great morning of worship. Amen. Amen. God is good. It has been so great to worship together this morning and experience all that God is doing in people's lives, and I hope it's an encouragement to you. If you're here today and you have never said yes to Jesus for the first time, I want you to know that there is no time like the present to make that decision. If you would like to say yes to Jesus, I'd invite you to come forward at the close of the service. Our prayer team members are here at the front. We've got Jim and Barbara here on this side, Karen and Joe over here. They would love the opportunity to pray with you today, whether it's to say yes for the first time or maybe you've got a special need that you would like prayer for. They would love that opportunity to pray with you today. You know, church family, God is doing some great stuff
And not only is he doing great stuff in these people's lives, but I know that he is moving in yours as well. I would encourage you and challenge you as you go out from here today to go out celebrating the goodness of God and what he's doing in all of our lives collectively. And take that testimony that he has written in your heart and share it with other people this week as you have opportunity. Let's pray and give thanks to God. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to worship together today. We pray that you would have received all glory and all honor this morning from what is happening in the lives of these people. And Lord, we give you thanks. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. We pray it in his name. Amen. Two quick things before you go. Number one, if you are here with someone that was baptized, we have a photo booth set up in the atrium. We would love you to stop by, take photos together before you leave. Also, congregation as a whole, we have baptism jars that are set up over there. And what those are is there's little slips of paper where you can write a special note to our people that were baptized, whether it's a scripture verse or encouragement. I'd encourage you to stop by, fill up those jars, and encourage them as they continue to grow in their personal relationship with Jesus. With that being said, I can't wait to worship with you again next week. God bless you. Have a great week serving the Lord.